You are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Radiant Culture. I'm Cookie Monster.
And I'm Biscuit.
Yeah, what's happening, Biscuit?
Not much, man. Not much. Well, for me, today, nothing much.
Today.
Maybe it's a sad thing. I don't know. But nothing much.
Today's Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, today.
Just making sure, because, you know, you don't usually place such emphasis on the date.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Uh-huh.
And why, better things to do.
Oh, I see. So we're the losers.
We're holding fort today.
Ish. Life is tough, man. Life is tough. But anyway, somebody's got to do it, right? Somebody's got to do it. And today we have a guest in the house. We have Sean Mullins. Sean, how's it going?
Hey, I'm good. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. If you're the Cookie Monster and you're the Biscuit, I guess I could be the White Brownie if you like. Whatever you like, I'm it.
You're wearing a red shirt.
Yeah, at least you're like in the
Valentine's Day.
In the season,
right, so is that on purpose?
That's Valentine's Day, you know, promoting the spirit of love.
Mm-hmm. The spirit of love. Actually, you know, there's a lot of talk about Valentine's Day having some seriously pagan roots, right? And so, I don't know, man, I'm surprised that, you know, someone of your caliber is advocating for
love. I think that's the central theme of the gospel, love. You know, any excuse to celebrate love for one another.
Uh-huh.
I'm up for that. Saint Valentine, he was a saint, as it were, and a pretty good guy, I believe. I haven't done too much history, or I can't remember too much of the history behind Valentine's Day.
Right.
But certainly would want to promote deep love for one another that involves self-service and self-sacrifice to honor one another. I'm all up for that.
That's pretty cool. I hear, though, that I read something quite funny today. It was on someone's WhatsApp status, which it said that all the broke guys are going on and on about Valentine's being pagan. Just admit that you're broke. And can't do anything. But anyway, you know, it's cool. Well, today, what we actually want to talk about is love.
Mm.
But more specifically, we want to talk about marriage, right? And being single. Mm. I think anybody who's been in church for long enough will know that this whole subject is a hot one. You know, past a certain point, young adults especially, you know, people, it just becomes a very trying time if you're single and you're past a certain age, or if all your friends are getting married, or if you've been a bridesmaid or a groomsman for a certain number of weddings, like myself. What tends to happen is that, you know, people start asking questions and you're like, yo, dude, so when is your day happening? Biscuit, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've been in one or two weddings, and the last one I was actually
one
this
or two.
Man at, and that one was particularly brutal. I have a pastor, wow. I'm sure he listens to the show, I won't mention your name. But
yeah,
he definitely made sure
he's
everyone
been giving us a hard time.
I've been,
man,
to a few weddings. Yeah, so yeah, I hear that. Yeah,
yeah. So this is for all the brothers out there who know the struggle, who have been accumulating the suits, and you know the story. You know the story. We're celebrating you today. We're suffering.
This is your
suffering
day.
Together. Yeah, but you know, today we really want to talk about this because what happens in church, especially, I'll say this again, is that there's pressure to get married. And it almost feels as if singleness is a disease, right? That you're still single. Why are you still single? Type thing. And so I wanted to talk about that, Sean, what's the story with that, right? Is there an expectation from God, maybe, that when you reach a certain age, you need to now, you know, hook up with someone, But where's all of this coming from?
Well, I wonder what age is the age that is too long to be single for. I wonder if the perception of singleness is the correct perception. I would see through the Bible that singleness ought not to be viewed as a problem, but actually as a gift, nor marriage to be viewed as a right or what everybody should be doing. But God grants both as a gift. And if it is God's will that you ought to marry, that is good. And God, in his good timing, will provide the right husband or wife for those who desire marriage. And sometimes he surprises some of us along the way when we had no desire with a husband or a wife. And so I think the key is to change the perception and to help deal with the pressure that there is. And I think most of the time, a lot of the pressure is self-imposed. Possibly there are desires to be married. And I think particularly in the church, the desire may well be there because Christians want to remain pure and not fall into fornication or adultery. And I think that would possibly be the major root of pressure, possibly, suggestion there. And the feeling that that would be the pressure leading someone to get married. And Paul does talk about it in the scripture we'll mention in a few moments. And so I wonder where the pressure is coming from. Is the pressure external? Is it cultural pressure? Is it from the world around us? Is it internal pressure because of our own desire? So pressure can be driven from a variety of angles. Where have you heard the pressure from? And is it the ladies that are putting pressure on young guys? What is it? I've heard from some young ladies that these guys just don't have game. They're just not, you know, they're not employed, they're not earning money, they're too busy playing video games, they don't clean their room, they, you know. So I've heard some of those arguments.
Right.
And I've heard from the guys, it's difficult to get a young lady these days because their expectations are far too high and we just can't meet them. After all, you've seen the environment we live in. So I've heard some, as a pastor of a church, I've heard some of those arguments.
Well, you know, I agree that the pressure is coming from many different areas.
Yep.
I will speak for myself and say that I think a good portion of the pressure comes from yourself. And I think it should. I actually think it should come from yourself.
Right.
I guess it is fueled in a lot of ways by your environment in Zimbabwe. I'll say this. In Zim, it's a cultural norm to get married. It's a social norm. It's an environmental norm. Everyone's doing it, to put it that way.
Right.
But you go to other countries and that has changed. I read an article recently saying that we're sort of in a generation of unmarried, where it's actually very cool to live your whole life and just never get married. It's quite normal. It's not expected of you as much as it is here. So it's almost like we've got a set of rules that is now separated from maybe the way it's happening in other countries.
Right.
But I guess the question then becomes, is the pressure bad? Or is it just a natural pressure? I mean, we have a tendency to demonize a lot of things and just say anything that forces you to do something is bad. Maybe not.
Mm.
Maybe it's good. God did say we're not meant to live alone.
Sure.
So shouldn't we have some kind of pressure? Especially internally?
Those are important questions that you're posing there. And I guess what then comes to mind for me is the scripture where in 1 Corinthians, where Paul seems to be advocating for singleness, right? And he basically says, and I think I'm gonna let Sean open that up for us. But Paul seems to be alluding to the fact that God... Well, that it is good to be single because then you can separate yourself for God and really serve God without all the other responsibilities that come with being married. But then he goes on to say, but if you burn with passion, right? So he's almost giving singleness a more preeminent position, so to speak. I don't know, but Sean, maybe you can just...
Sure. I mean, great to read that scripture. These are excellent comments. And just before we go there, I think sometimes pressure from our families to get married is big. Parents, grandparents want grandchildren, you know, and the expectation is to be married before producing them. Obviously, that is the Christian ideal, is not to have sex before marriage and then within marriage to produce grandchildren for grandparents. And that seems to be an ideal that older generations have. They want their families to grow, and particularly culturally.
Right.
And when you talk about other nations, I think some of those the pressures of marriage, rather stay single, work it out for yourself. But it seems though sex before marriage or promiscuity is an acceptable norm, and therefore something to often even celebrate as they do.
Right.
And so back into the scripture, and I think the context of it is key. If I can read it a bit, and then we talk through there. In 1 Corinthians 7, the scripture you allude to, starting at verse 25, I'll read from the NLT. Paul says, now regarding your question, that's a great way to start, about the young women who are not yet married. I do not have a command from the Lord for them, Paul says. So this is not gospel or doctrine or a command from the Lord. But the Lord in his mercy has given me wisdom that can be trusted. So Paul's saying, hey, listen to this wisdom that you can trust. It's the Lord who gave it to me.
Right.
And he says, I'll share it with you. So this is his wisdom. And verse 26 says, present crisis. Now that's the context. The present crisis. He says, I think it is best to remain as you are, single. So Paul's relating the benefit or the priority of singleness or the blessing of singleness to the present crisis, not singleness in general. It's the present crisis. What was the present crisis in that day? Well, people were getting murdered by Nero and his compatriots for being believers, for being Christians in that day. In fact, the whole city was burnt and Nero blamed the Christians. And so the prison crisis was a difficult one to live in, particularly for married couples, because Paul was talking about the concerns a husband would have for his wife, a wife would have for a husband, and for their children. So I think that's the context he's talking about, is that you would not necessarily live well for the glory of God if you were married, because your concerns would be more for your family. But if you're single, you'd be more prepared to die for Christ, as it were, to be radical, to live your life in such a way that you're spreading the gospel. I think that's what Paul's getting at there,
right?
Because of that present crisis. So that's the context of it. I hope I've given some food for thought there and prepared to go on. In verse 27, he says, if you do have a wife, don't seek to end the marriage. So if you are married, don't end it. If you don't have a wife, don't seek to get married. This is in light of the present crisis. And then verse 28, but if you do get married, it's not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it's not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. This time is crucial for us to relate to the context of that time. I wonder if this time, right now, is there too many pressures for people to get married? Is it a high risk to get married? And would it be better for you to remain single? What is your context? What are you going through? Would you be more focused on Christ as a single than a married because of the present struggles, present crises in this world? He goes on to say, I'm trying to spare you these problems. That's Paul's purpose,
right?
Is to spare folks the problems. So I think that's the kind of context we're talking into or speaking into about Paul's priority, or better for people to remain single or as they are, as it were.
Okay.
So context, I think, is important for us.
Yeah. All right. So that is quite an interesting angle. And just bringing that context also makes the whole subject quite interesting. The question that I then have is, what kind of pressures are we dealing with today, right? Yeah. As believers, and when you look at the life of Paul and the day that he was living in, right? What parallels can we draw from there, like between there and now? That is there any similarities that are there, right? And for us today, Biscuit mentioned earlier that there's a lot of pressure from different places, including family. And as Zimbos, as Africans, there's already an expectation that is there that we want you to get married, we want to have grandkids, whatnot, whatnot, whatnot.
Yeah.
The question then is, where does God fit into all of this, right? Because that, I think that that's the important question to me, that in the church, you're a minister of the gospel, right? There's almost this expectation that's there, and marriage is often viewed as an achievement, right? Yeah. So if a young lady is not married, and she's now getting to her mid-30s and further on, it's almost viewed as though there's a problem somewhere, right? I remember being in a church service where the pastor, it was one of these traditional churches, where the pastor actually gave an example like that, right? So I'm just trying to think that, could the church also be responsible for some of the pressure?
I think so.
Yeah.
I certainly think so. I think part of the pressure has come from the church, and often pastors who preach that way, and I think their heart is generally to protect. As Paul says, he says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. I want you to be free from being entangled up in sensuality and lusts and issues in this world, so that you can focus on Jesus. Now, if being married helps you to be free from that, if having a husband or a wife and being able to be married and, you know, don't burn with passion, he says, but be married. So part of the problem of this age is we have an over-sexualized culture. We have pornography on display pretty much everywhere, accessible to anybody who has access to the internet. You know, it's not PG, you know, internet is not PG, as it were.
Yeah.
And so anybody can access it. H Metro, the front page of H Metro, my kids, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, can view pornography as we're driving along the road.
Yeah.
It's not covered or hidden or anything like that. Those are the pressures of this life, part of the pressures of this life. And so I think pastors have a desire to protect the congregation from sin, protect Christians from sinning, sexual sin particularly, which is a significant and different kind of sin, if I can say that, and I think that's for conversation too. And I think that's the desire of pastors, to protect their flock from sexual sin.
Right.
And they would make statements and possibly often mislead people to say marriage is better than singleness. Well, what I would say is that what God calls you to is better than doing what God hasn't called you to do. And if you are single, that is a calling from God for now, until God brings along or gives you a husband or wife that he has purposed for you. If you have a desire to be married, often that desire is implanted in you from God, you know, to protect you from sin sometimes. And I believe that marriage is one of the great ways that we can display what God is like. After all, we're told by Paul in Ephesians that marriage is a prophetic representation of Christ's relationship with the church. And so marriage between a husband and wife, I must clarify that in this day and age, that marriage is between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, is one of the most incredible demonstrations of the relationship of Jesus and his church. So marriage is good in that sense, and declares something about Jesus and his church.
I like that you mentioned, well, you alluded sort of to what is said in the first, I think verse 7, where it says, however, each person has a special gift from God, one this and one another, where it's kind of suggesting that, hey, maybe it's you are gifted for marriage and maybe you're gifted for singleness. So my own personal viewpoint on some of this is that marriage is not something that you should just walk into. It has a purpose. It inherently has a purpose.
True.
And I guess the opposite must also be true. If you are single, according to this, your singleness should have a purpose. You can't just be saying, I'm just single just because I want to be single. What's coming out of your singleness? Paul here chose because he wanted to be more useful and helpful in his walk. It was good for him. He had a purpose to his singleness.
Absolutely.
But I wonder if this day and age, we are maybe not aware of the purpose of marriage, so we don't want to go into it.
Sure.
And we're sitting in singleness being completely useless because we don't know the purpose of that
singleness,
either.
Yeah, wow. That's true.
So I don't know. It's kind of an open question / suggestion / thought.
And can I just add something to that? You mentioned something that I think is quite important there, which is that singleness is also viewed almost as a waiting period for marriage to happen. So while you're in singleness, in single mode, you're waiting for the real thing to happen, which is marriage. And I think that's part of the reason why maybe we don't then treat our singleness with that sense of purpose, because it's generally viewed as, okay, you need to be searching, you need to be looking, you need to be preparing for your partner, right? Mm-hmm. That's some of the lingo that's used.
True.
Yeah. But yes, you should be preparing for marriage if you plan to get married.
Yes.
However, how can you maximize on the singleness? Because I think that is very important as well.
These are excellent questions. And then coming back to purpose, what is the purpose of singleness? What is the purpose of marriage? Uh-huh. I think we've got to look at what's the purpose of life. If our purpose in life as believers, as Christians, is to bring glory to God, we're made for the glory of God and relationships. So God made us not to be alone. That's why he said he created Eve, so that man in Genesis chapter 1, it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
Therefore, he made Eve. And Adam said, wow, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This is woman. She is good. She looks good. And I don't necessarily think that means that God made us for marriage. Marriage is necessary for the human flourishing. Uh-huh. If there wasn't marriage, there wouldn't be children. And therefore, humanity would end with Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
But for some people, so the purpose of life is to glorify God and to have relationships, to reflect the triune nature of God, which is relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As singles, we're made for the glory of God and relationships with God and with one another to reflect his triune nature. That's one of the best ways we glorify God. And so in our singleness, our purpose is to glorify God and to have good, strong relationships in family and church. A Christian family is the best place to have those relationships, not necessarily in marriage. And I think we've obscured marriage, or we've probably idolized marriage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And even singles, you know, even marrieds, we've idolized marriage. And actually, marriage is not easy. Marriage is difficult. Marriage is all about sacrifice. Marriage is about laying down our lives for one another. And most often, singles would think, oh, marriage is going to end all of my problems, all of my desires for sex, all of my desires for closeness. Mm-hmm. It's going to fix my aloneness issues. I will be fulfilled when I get married. And then you get into marriage and you're like, wow, these issues are still here, even now that I'm married, and they're highlighted because there's someone who's closer to me who highlights my very issues.
Yeah.
And so I think those are greater opportunities to glorify God as we work them out and as we look to glorify God in our marriage. I love what Paul said, if I can come back to Paul.
Sure.
He says, it's better for me to die and to be with Jesus than to live. But for your good, for your sake, I live for your joy and your progress in the faith. So Paul says, as a single, I exist to glorify God by being here for your joy and your progress in the faith. I think that would be a good purpose for any single person, is to live for the joy and progress of faith of any other person. And I think to find relationship and not aloneness, I think loneliness is one of the deep desires for humanity, and one of the reasons why we want to get married is because of loneliness. Right. And someone to share life with, right?
Uh-huh.
Deep relationship, deeper relationship than we experience when we're single.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that desire can be fulfilled in a family like a church, like a local church. And so I want to encourage young people, singles, who are not yet married, who don't know what God has called them to. At the moment, God's called you to sing. If you're single, that's God's calling for you now.
Uh-huh.
And in your singleness, find companionship, find relationship in a local church. And if it is your desire to get married, trust God that he would provide a good partner for you, a good person to share and journey through life with, for the purpose of, let's come to the purpose of marriage. I think the primary purpose of marriage is to glorify God.
Yeah.
The secondary purpose of marriage is for godly offspring. as we see through Scripture, and to disciple children that we bear, that we have, to become believers that glorify God and advance His kingdom, and in their singleness live for the glory of God, for the joy of people, and for others' progress in the faith. And I think if we look at it that way around, we can see what the purpose is for humanity, purpose for singleness, and purpose for marriage too. So I would put that to both singles and to marrieds, whatever situation of life you're in at the moment, unless you're living in deep sin, then God has called you to that. And so be joyful in that and find your purpose in God as you do that. If we come back to Corinthians, unless you guys want to interject, I'll keep going.
No,
if we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I love what Paul says here. He says, I am saying this, verse 35, for your benefit. The reason he said these things is for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. Don't get married, do get married. Don't get divorced if you are married. Don't get married if you are single. I'm not saying these things to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best. So Paul's advice and the wisdom of God, he's not saying it's a command. He's saying is to help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. If marriage helps you serve the Lord best with as few distractions of the world as possible, get married. If there is one who's called you. If singleness helps you to serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible, stay single.
Right.
Whatever stage of life you're in, that is a calling from God, unless you've been disobedient and He has provided someone He wants you to be married, or unless you should be single and you got married just for the sake of fulfilling some sinful desires. I would, over to you guys for a question.
I think just the whole obsession, and sorry to call it this because that's exactly what it is, obsession with marriage, right? And everyone is just on this tip. And I think it's also been fueled by social media because people are seeing their friends getting married, friends getting engaged, and they're posting pictures with bae. And it, you know what I mean? So so all of this, I think, is fueling this desire. Because as I think as human beings, we naturally want to fit in, right? We naturally want to feel like we're moving with society. So people end up just doing stuff because they're like, I need to get married. I need to make sure that I'm also inviting people to my wedding. I'm also, you know, there's a lot of pressures that are coming with it. The thing though that I'm thinking about, Sean, as you've been talking, is practically speaking, right? We want to honor God. We want to do everything that you've mentioned. However, how do we deal with the family side of things, the expectation that's coming from our parents? Because we also don't want to disappoint our parents.
True.
Right? How do we deal with the fact that we've got friends even, right? Friends that are like, hey, dude, when are you doing it, right? Or friends that are now having kids and they're like on their fourth kid and you're still... So I think there's all these things, all these dynamics that are at play. I don't know, man. It's quite interesting. Biscuit, I don't know what you have to say.
I don't know. I'm still on the whole, I'm okay with pressure. Maybe it's because I'm used to deflecting and I've had it for so long that I'm used to saying, listen, I'm running my own race. I'll do it in my own time. I appreciate that you would like this for me and that's great. But when I get married, I'm the one with the person. So I will take the time that I need to do that. But I never tell them, don't ask me or don't request this of me, because if the Bible is saying that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord, it's obviously a gift. It's obviously a good thing to get. So for people in society, even if they're not of the Christian persuasion, them wanting that for you isn't inherently a bad thing. True. If you're forced into it, yes. Right. I think if someone wants you to just get married just because that's the person you're with and it's a totally messed up relationship, but they're saying, oh, you've hit 35, you better marry now, that is wrong. But if it's two godly people and people are asking you, why aren't you? I think that's a fair request.
Yeah. I think it's a fair question. Yeah. And I think society should be allowed to want you to have children.
Sure.
You're not forced to, but they're not wrong to want that for you.
And I think often ladies, women feel the pressure because they realize my biological clock is ticking down.
Yeah.
And once I get to such and such an age, maybe I can't have children anymore. Right. And I really want children. And therefore, the pressure to get married is based on biological clock and years ticking by, and I haven't found the guy. So the pressure's on. Hey, any guy will do just as long as we get married and have kids, and hey, we'll work it out as we go. No, that's not God's desire for us. God's desire is that we glorify Him in everything we do. And I think we've not seen singleness as the gift that it really is. You see, singleness is such a gift from God. Our single years are given to us, whether they're until we die and move on and go to heaven, or whether they're single until we get married. Singleness, those single years, because everyone's single for a stage in their lives. You know, we don't get married when we come out the womb.
Right.
You know, we get married later. Singleness is such a gift from God in that there is so much more we can do without the pressures of marriage, because there are certainly pressures in marriage that we can do for the glory of God. Our time is not demanded of us by others. We can be flexible. Do you know, a single person can respond to the call of God within moments. You know, if you have a sense that there's an opportunity that's come for me to go on a mission trip to India tomorrow, the plane's leaving, somebody's offered me a ticket, that's the gift of God, and you don't have to check in with family, kids, wife, get them a ticket too, are they going to be okay, can I go? You're there, you're on edge, you're ready, you can make decisions, but being married and making a decision, it's like turning a big ship around. You know, you're not a little speedboat that can go just wherever you like.
Right.
And we've got to make decisions together with our wives and consider our children's. What are the implications going to be? Their education, their future, financial costs, food, what are we going to eat, health? For a single person, there's not these concerns or weighed down to make decisions. So singleness is such a gift of God in terms of being obedient to urgent requests. We can give ourselves, we can sacrifice so much. We can give away resources in an incredible generosity as singles when we're not concerned about school fees and other bills. And I know single people still have bills, right?
Yeah.
But they don't have to put food on the table for three or four other, six other people. They're thinking of, I just got to feed myself. Hey, I can go without a meal or two. They're not considering four other people that are going to go without a meal if they give away. So there are gifts and blessings of God, huge ones in singleness that Paul saw, I think, when he wrote this letter.
I think you're spot on with that. And to also concur with what Kudo was saying, it really is this whole idolization of marriage.
True.
And good thing, I want it, but we do idolize it way too much. And in doing so, totally forget what we could be doing.
Yeah.
I remember, this might be a random side story, but when I came back to Zim, and I'd been a Christian all my life, I guess, as long as I can remember, but I wasn't born again. It was a bit of a difference. So I came back, and then there was a girl that I liked. Well, fine. Let me just say, more like a girl that kind of liked me, and I kind of liked her. So she had more intense feelings towards me than I did for her.
Yeah, that much game, huh?
I had game for days. I was wearing Fat Farm and Boo and all that cake Swiss all the way.
Wow.
Anyway,
you materialistic
can see how old I am. But I came
back.
Here's
the biscuit.
And I laid my game down, and I guess it was quite effective.
Mm-hmm.
And she was great. But in the time that I'd been away, she had fully accepted Christ, and she was way further along in that journey than me. So one time when I was getting very close to her, she was like, hey, chill. I don't believe the Spirit is in agreement with that. So I left there thinking, the Spirit, what? who is not in agreement with what? So that moment, I accredit her so much for that moment, because it got me thinking. And not long after that, I did accept the Holy Spirit. And then I hit this moment, which I think most new believers go through, this fire moment where you
burn and scorch everything around
all
you.
All the CDs.
All everything.
Girls everything. Become
girls
evil.
Girls are just talk from
no,
the devil.
No hugs.
Nothing. Nothing. You must have A-frame hugs at best. And you. But what I appreciate about that time was that was the season when I joined a cell group. That was the season when I started serving in church. That was the season when me and the guys would go and minister in the park.
Yeah.
We had that liberty. We had that time. We had that focus. And that was in singleness. When it totally said, no, for now, I don't want to deal with trying to deal with girls and trying to get girls. And let me focus on this. So I do think there's a lot of merit.
Just to put it out there, girls can actually be quite a huge distraction, you know, just so you know. Right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I think it goes both ways. I think.
Yeah, don't blame it all on them. I do want to say well done to that young girl. You rock. And young ladies, we want to say to you, keep it pure and keep strong for God and bat these guys who are after one thing. Bat them hard. You know, don't take a bite of the biscuit. Don't take a bite of the Cookie Monster. Put it down.
Put it down. So I think those are things we need to think about seriously.
True.
That also, you know, Sean spoke about the pressure that comes with marriage. Have we really thought about how huge a responsibility that is?
Yeah.
You know, because it's nice to have my wedding day and we all wear our tuxes and stuff. Yeah. But when all that's said and done, you know, the real journey begins. So I'm just thinking about all these things.
Well, one of the things we recommend is pre-engagement counseling. Yeah, you might ask. Okay, not pre-marriage, pre-engagement counseling. Before you make the decision to get engaged, then you've got a relationship. We want to help you as church leaders, pastors, to be able to consider the pressures of marriage, to consider what you go through in marriage, to consider those things even before getting engaged, paying lawola, rora. Whatever it is, consider those things. You know, you asked a question earlier, which was interesting. How do we honor our parents? How do we consider their desires for us? Do you know, I think the best way to honor our parents when it comes to marriage and those things is to have a good relationship with them throughout your life. Don't let the relationship get distant. You know, when you desire to get married and want to get married and want to present the young lady before your families or young man and he comes to seek permission to be married. If you have a good relationship with your parents, they will trust you and trust your decision more than if your relationship was distant. You know, if there's good community in the family relationships, it's going to be a much easier lobola process. It's going to be a much easier process with the aunts and uncles and lobola ceremony. The most attractive thing, singles, for another single person is someone who is serving passionately and sweating for the Lord, serving Him on mission, serving Him in the local church. Don't get distracted by your desire to be married. Allow God to lead you and guide you as you serve Him full out, full on, without the distractions. And that is what is attractive. That is what God would lead the young person to you. That's how I met my wife. Busy serving the Lord, and she came as a surprise. As I was working hard, serving the Lord, keeping myself busy with the things of the Lord. And I can guarantee you, those who serve the Lord with their whole heart, you will not miss God's precious gift for you if your desire is marriage coming in. Too often we miss God's gift because we're so busy looking for our list of qualities that we long for, and yet that may not be God's best for us. And we get distracted even by our list that we're looking at, and we want this person or that person, they must have this job or that job or be this qualified. You know, those are distractions, I believe, that Paul is talking about. Mm-hmm. Get busy serving the Lord. Use your singleness as a gift to others and receive it as a gift from God. We get gifts not for us, but for others. God gives us gifts to be a blessing to others. And that's pretty much what I would say to singles. Marrieds, let your marriage glorify God. You know, if you are married, do everything that you can in your marriage to glorify God and bring up children in the best way to know how to, if that's God's will for them, get married well and to live their lives well for His glory and for the joy of other people. Those would be my kind of comments to singles and to marrieds. Yeah.
This is really good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean. I like the angle. And on that note,
him it.
Him it. All right. I'm Cookie Monster.
I'm Biscuit.
And I'm the white chocolate brownie.
Yep. We're out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.